Joining us now is Tom Withers from the Associated Press, a regular on this show. Tom, how you doing?
Vic, always good to see you.
Well, watching OTAs this week, the one day that you got to watch the final set of practices, Tuesday, what's jumping out at you as this team closes in on wrapping up these off-season workouts?
You know, Vic, just how much sharper they look at this point, only because last year we had no reference point. There were no OTAs. There were no mini camps. There was no rookie camp. So we really didn't get a chance to see what this team was all about until they took the field in July. So what's come across to me just in the early stages, just the crispness of the practice, the fact that guys are not making the same mistakes over and over again. And I think, you know, and we talked about this, as you know, Vic, ad nauseum last year, just how important it is to have guys on the field with coaches learning on the fly.
Yeah, and more importantly, too, is seeing some progress with players just making bigger or better-looking plays. Again, I know the circumstances, and we always have to put that qualifier in there, but just watching Brandon Whedon throughout, is he not as consistent as anybody? I mean, his throws haven't wavered, I don't think, from – the last time you see him throw again Tuesday compared to that first pass he threw in rookie minicamp.
No, you're right about that. I mean, using the baseball analogy, he pounds the strike zone, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, the arm is one thing, but the accuracy is another. And, you know, to your point too, Vic, you know, he does not make – if he makes a bad throw, you don't see the same bad throw made again. And whether that's a process of getting his feet right or opening his shoulders a little bit more. And what also has impressed me, too, is the way that Brad Childress is really hands-on with Whedon. And it's also allowed Coach Shurmur to step back a little bit and maybe look at other things that are going on. He doesn't have to be so riveted on what's going on with the quarterback because he's got somebody to help him with that. And especially – and also, too, with Mark Whipple, sounding off as well.
Yeah, no, there's no question that he's got – clearly more guidance with the addition of Childress. And I think that the structure, I think the comfort level that I see of the offense is stronger than I saw last year too. And again, a lot of that would be a given because of the lack of time. But I also think another part of it is the teaching process. I think it's been elevated. I see Pat Shurmur able to do more, not only stand back while letting others do their thing, he's picking his spots where I think maybe a year ago he was, not even maybe, definitely a year ago, he felt that whole thing that he had to kind of micromanage a little bit, and that's what first-year coaches often do.
You're so right. I think there were times last year that I'm not sure Pat knew, and this is not a knock on Pat, knew exactly what was going on because there was so much going on, and he wasn't able to, like you said.
But he wanted to be a part of all of it.
And then he spread himself way too all over the field. So, it's been interesting, and, you know, obviously we don't have any access to the classroom, but a lot of the guys after practice have talked about how much has gone on behind the scenes as well, what we're not privy to seeing, but how much they're able to take from breaking down the film of the practice and then take it back out to the field for the next practice.
The receivers keep performing at a level that I think makes a lot of us at least look at them and say, okay, there's a real chance here that this group is going to be better. I know the test is seeing them consistently hold on to the ball, seeing all those things that we didn't see enough of last year, run the right routes and be precise in what they're doing. What I'm seeing in these workouts is a motivated group, and it shows in their play.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%. I mean, probably the most scrutinized unit we've had here in Cleveland in about 10 years, right?
Yeah.
But I agree with you as well, Vic. There seems to be more depth and more talent there as a unit. We've talked a little bit in the past about, you know, Mo Massaqua and what is supposed to be a big year for him, and it looks like he's ready to take that jump. But then when you just look all the way down, you know, it's Greg Little with a leaner-looking body, a guy who looks more like a wide receiver than a tight end. It's Jordan Norwood, somebody that we're now a little more familiar with. It's Carlton Mitchell, a guy who's always passed the eye test, and you're ready for him to take that next big leap. It's a guy like Josh Cooper, who just looks to be a football player, a guy who may make this roster when a lot of people thought, you know, maybe he's just somebody they're bringing in to keep Brandon Whedon happy. So I agree with you. I think that unit has really jumped out to me amongst all of them so far through OTAs and minicamp.
Tom Withers of the Associated Press joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. There isn't much we can conclude about the running back position other than, again, the impressive physique of Trent Richardson. But I do sense that as a whole, this is a competitive bunch, and you can, I don't know, you to me, and tell me what you're sensing, I'm sensing a real urgency on the part of the other backs besides Richardson of what their role is going to be, how they're going to fit in, but that they've got a chance, that they're getting repetitions, enough of them, Brandon Jackson and Chris Obanaya and Montario Hardesty, to get, to leave some impression here that even though this is a non-contact setting, they've got to make some kind of mark now before training camp.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, there is no competition per se at the running back position. I mean, we all know what Trent Richardson brings to this team. As you said, I mean, talk about a guy who passes the eye test. I mean, he is just physically so gifted. And it's going to be fun to see him finally get the pads on and see somebody try to bring him down. But as far as the other guys, I'm with you. Vic, last year we didn't really ever got a good look at Brandon Jackson.
Right.
We really didn't know what he brought to the table. But now you can see with the speed that he's got, the way he can get outside, what kind of an asset he could be to this West Coast offense. And then to your point, too, with Hardesty and Obanaya, I mean, two guys we know a little bit about, but both that are going to have to fight their way onto this roster, I think.
You talk about speed. You look at the defense, and I think it's jumping out. I think it seems noticeable that there's a greater quickness up front. So you're seeing the same thing. I mean, Jabal Sheard looks every bit the quick guy we saw last year as a rookie, but just watching some of these other D linemen and Frosty Rucker and then the other combinations that they went in, Emmanuel Acho gets around, you know, gets in there in the front seven. There just seems to be some really good quickness. Billy Winn, again, that's about all we can tell because then they have to go up to that moment of truth and hold back. But I could see instances where you would know a big hit would be coming because these guys were in position to make it.
I'm with you. And obviously that was an emphasis in the offseason. This team did need to get faster. And I think it did. And I'm with you. I think it's across the front line. I think, you know, Rucker has really stood out to me as well. I mean, they're not allowed to do much, obviously, in these OTAs, you know.
But what's jumped out at you about
just the way he gets off the ball. Yeah. And to your point, too, about, you know, when the ball is outside, there are people closing. And that wasn't the case last year for a long time.
Right. And it, again, I know this will be felt. Phil Taylor's absence can't be diminished.
It's going to hurt.
It's a thing that'll hurt, and it's an impactful type of thing because he was growing. I mean, not growing in the sense of adding more weight because he didn't need to do that, but he certainly looked like he was growing into the role of comfort, of playing that tackle spot, of understanding what his responsibility was, of learning from Ataba Rubin, a great guy to be next to, and he was bringing him along. And then that comes to this screeching halt now, and we don't know for how long he'll be out, but enough to at least say, okay, what will the answer be? But based on what I'm seeing, and this is where I guess the hitting is probably even more important, is how much run clogging is going on in there without him.
Right.
You know, does John Hughes fit the bill in that regard? He certainly looks the part, too. Another guy looking the part. A lot of guys look the part.
Yeah.
And what Billy Winn might be able to do, and not forgetting about Scott Paxton or Brian Schaefering either. But this is the one of the many things that we're going to, I guess, ponder between the end of these OTAs and the start of training camp. It's going to be a big one.
Yeah, and you know, you always try to find a silver lining, and I know coaches do when there's an injury. And obviously when a guy like Phil Taylor goes down, a guy that they were going to count on this year to taking another big jump and you know, developing into one of the top, maybe, you know, run stuffers in the AFC, the silver lining here is there's opportunity for other guys. And I think these young guys, Hughes and Winn, are going to try to make the most of it. You know, I do like a lot more depth that they have up front there. And I'm with you, Vic. This is going to be a big training camp ahead.
And that's where I want to leave this, Tom, is that we look at the end of this week. Come Friday, it's shut down until late July. So what will be left out there to talk about and decide? Well, we're going to have the quarterback conversation. I'm not sure how real a conversation it has to be. I mean, we can conclude pretty safely, at least up till now, Brandon Wheaton's the guy. He's the star.
There's no doubt about it.
Okay, so who's the number two? And that's on Tuesday. Pat Shurmur was discussing that possibility of the two of the other quarterbacks on this roster, one of them filling that role, talking about keeping three guys. Where does your head go with any of that?
Gee, you know, I don't know. It was interesting. I thought that Seneca Wallace said that he doesn't see all three guys being on the roster at training camp. And many of us have written that. And that's kind of an assumption and a presumption that we're all making. And I think it's a reasonable one. It's going to come down, I think, to whether or not, you know, the Browns may look to trade Colt McCoy. I think that's a very distinct possibility.
Yeah.
I think there's also the potential that, you know, with Seneca and the $2.4 million he makes a year, that could be a factor in all this. So I still think there's going to be a couple right-hand turns in that story ahead.
Yeah, and And beyond that, I think we touched upon the D-line situation, the competition at safety, although it looks like Eric Hag has really put himself
– Boy, that's a guy who's really shined during
there.
All this time. Yeah, he was terrific.
Hasn't he?
Yeah.
And you heard Pat Shurmur also gush about Jordan Cameron at this tight end spot. It seems to me – about his improvement from last year, but it seems to me that that position, even though I think it's widely – thought that the Browns are as solid there as they could be anywhere, I still think there's some shaking out that still can be done. I know Evan Moore, we know what his status was. They gave him the contract extension last year. Ben Watson led this team in receptions a couple of seasons ago. But all in all, I'm curious as to what will emerge from that.
At the tight end spot?
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think, you know, and like you said, you know, Coach Shurmur singled Cameron out as a guy who has maybe made the biggest jump of any player on the team,
in terms of the
unit that he's in. And yeah, that is a strength of the team. But as we saw last year, I mean, you know, Benjamin Watson dealing with that concussion. Evan Moore never really kind of – we never figured out what his role was.
Yeah.
He's more of a hybrid kind of receiver, I think, anyway. Kind of fits in that slot spot.
Just because of how he's built.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm with you. It's going to be interesting to see how that – develops, and we'll just see how much more they're going to use the tight end this year. You know, now that you have a different quarterback, a quarterback with a stronger arm, I think we're going to see the ball go to areas of the field that we didn't see it go to last year. So I think when you talk about a vertical game and guys like Benjamin and whoever else being able to stretch the field, well, then I think that also stretches the field a little bit where you're going to see your tight ends in spots and getting the ball where you didn't see them a season ago.
Yeah, and when we look at competition at the pass-catching part of this thing. Mm-hmm. Travis Benjamin, you know, is going to be a part of this because of his speed, his outrageous speed. One thing that jumps out watching him on Tuesday was, okay, he dropped a couple of those punts, and that's not a good thing, obviously, for his role or participation in the return game. But how that will, with say, Buster Screen, with Josh Cribbs, you can't just assume, well, they got Josh Cribbs on this team, there's no other issue at return game. No, you've got to have other people doing it.
You've got to have a backup there. And I like Benjamin. His route running to me has improved as the OTAs have gone on. And I think that's got a lot to do with the coaching he's getting. You know, you've talked about Nolan Cromwell. We've brought him up several times. You know, he has really got these guys tuned in to what they need to be doing. And I thought there were a couple routes that Benjamin ran on Tuesday that he didn't run early in camp, you know, coming back for the ball and just being able to get uncovered in tight spots.
Beautiful. Great stuff, Tom. I appreciate it, and we will talk to you again down the line.
Thanks, Vic.
He is Tom Withers from the Associated Press joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.